And we have three really big points today. What the gospel is not. What is the gospel and how must we respond to the gospel? It's easy to get confused on what it is. There's a lot of church words, and if we don't clearly define the church words, then we don't know what the gospel is. But we're going to build our vocabulary to where we know what it is, and then we need to know how to respond. Not only am I living the way I know what the gospel is, but am I able to share it in the same way? And not only am I able to share it with my words, but is my life reflecting it? We talked about in the Lest You Fall series, idolatry. Right? That was one of the first things on the list. That was the first thing on the list that he warned us about. And idolatry isn't just a statue that we walk around with, but it's whatever somebody sees in you before they see Christ. Whatever I'm putting before Christ, whatever they see in me before that, I'm making that my idol. That's idolatry. Okay, so our big points today is understanding the gospel, and how do we need to live to where that's the first thing somebody sees in me? In my personal life, somebody who was close to me, a coworker, she passed away last Friday, not this Friday, but Friday before. And just where we work, we have a big community. And on the comments, there was easily 20, 30 comments where people, they knew she was dancing in front of heaven. That we know she's dancing in front of heaven. And that testimony, right? If you can live your life where you have joy that you can't fake it all the time. It's hard to fake it. But if you can live your life with joy, and when you pass and people are just saying what comes to mind, and the first thing that multiple people are saying is, I know she's dancing in heaven right now. That is incredible. And that joy only comes if you know the gospel, you know what it is. Because what we're going to talk about, what it's not, isn't always going to provide you this joy. Okay, so the first one, we got to hear me out on this, okay? The gospel is not Jesus is Lord. That is true. Jesus is Lord. But that is not the gospel, right? It's very easy to say, hey, go tell somebody about Christ, and then Jesus is Lord. Adios. Tell somebody about how good he is. Jesus is Lord of my life. He's done so many great things. That's part of it, but that's not the whole thing. Okay, Romans 10, 9 through 10. I feel like we should know this, but let's flip to it anyways. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, with the mouth one confesses and is saved. There is a big and in there. It's really easy sometimes to confess. Other times we live in a crazy world where it's even harder to just confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. In America, in our little area, in Texas is pretty great, it's still pretty easy mouth that Jesus is Lord, right? Other places it's not. But there's a big and after that. Believing in your heart. Acknowledgement alone is not the gospel. Just to say, hey, Jesus is Lord, that is not the full picture, and that is not all we need to believe. If I can just walk through daily life believing that Jesus is Lord and that's it, that's great, but I'm missing the key thing we need to know. I'm trying not to give away the next couple slides. Jesus is Lord is 100% true, but we need to make sure that we know the gospel and not just that Jesus is Lord. Next one. The gospel message is creation, fall, redemption. Whenever I started kind of meeting and counseling, Corey was counseling me, and we're talking about the Bible and reading plans. He had me read a book called The Story. The Story, I recommend it. The Story takes out some parts of the Bible that are hard to follow sometimes, and it puts the story of creation, fall, redemption. The gospel message is creation, fall, and redemption is the focus. That they take parts of the Bible, they put them in different orders, so you understand the line, the story, the plot of the Bible. Creation, fall, redemption. That is important, but the gospel, to believe the gospel, it is not to believe in it is to believe in creation, fall, redemption. Hold up. It's not to just memorize the story. There's a difference between knowing the plot and experiencing God. There's a difference between I know God created the earth. I know sin created separation from God. I know there was something that created redemption, and I know that I'm free. But you need to know what happened. Just to know creation, fall, redemption is not the gospel. That is not where salvation is, right? We need to know the story, what happened. We also kind of ties into the last slide. Passion on January, I believe it was New Year's. And there was a guy, his name's JP. He was talking to people and he said, 1 to 10, if you die, how much do you believe? 1, 0, or 1, 0, there's no chance. 10, there's no chance. Hello, can you hear me? Is this better? I'm cutting out. I kind of hear it. I might just grab the microphone. We'll do that. So, 1 to 10, if I died today, would I go to heaven? Right? Where does that put me? If you're anything but a 10, you are not putting all your trust in the cross.
Hello. Oh, wow. That works. Cool. So, 1 to 10, if I died today, where would I go? If I'm anywhere but a 10, that's me saying that I am not fully trusting in the cross. I believe there was something good enough, but I don't fully believe. That's going back to Jesus is Lord, right? He's Lord of my life, but I don't know if he actually took care of everything. It's easy to say God is the boss, right? Sometimes. But it's harder to say, I know that if I die, I've been taken care of. And then we go, do I know the story or am I living the story? Am I living with God inside me? Right? Am I living with God next to me? Salvation has nothing to do with memorization. It's great. We want to know the word. We want to be able to shoot it out. When somebody has a question, we want to. But it has nothing to do with knowing the story, but it has everything to do with believing what happened and knowing that as truth. Not kind of believing, but knowing it as truth. The last one, the gospel message is not cultural transformation. This is something that Corey said in my freshman year that I've heard him say all the time. We are not in the behavior change business. We got a lot of teenagers. We're not teenagers anymore. We're 20. We got a lot of young people. And if you have ever dealt with a young person, if you tell them something, especially me, if you tell me something, I probably will not listen to you. So if you tell me, hey, you need to fix your behavior, that is not what it means to be a Christian. You need to fix your behavior. That is an immediate turn off to me. Well, you told me to do something. I don't want to. Right? We are not going around telling people, hey, you need to change. Right? Hey, fix yourself. That's not our job, right? That's the Holy Spirit's job. And the Holy Spirit comes in when you believe in the gospel. So if we're only focused on changing people's behavior, if we're only focused on putting out fires, then we're not actually solving the problem. That also comes into play. It's not about your works. It's not about your behavior. It's not about what you do. If it's about what you do, if it's about your behavior, none of us are getting into heaven. We are not good. You're bad. I'm bad. We're all bad. We have to admit that. We have to acknowledge that. If it was about works, if it's about behavior transformation, if it's about changing our culture, we're not getting into heaven. Right? It has never been, and it's not about works. Whenever I'm going to talk to somebody about the gospel, when I'm spreading the good news, oh, I kind of got ahead of myself there. When I'm going to talk to somebody about the gospel, if I'm telling them, hey, you need to change, right? You need to fix yourself. That is not good news, right? Hey, what you're doing, you're terrible. You should change. That is not the good news. So the gospel is not just, hey, you're bad, right? We can all admit that we're bad. And if the gospel was in cultural transformation, none of us are going to heaven. We're all going to hell, right? If that's what it's about. So we need to make sure that this is more, I know the gospel, I'm going to share it to somebody. We have to be careful as Christians sometimes. We get in this mode of elitist, right? Oh, we're better than that. Right? Oh, I'm definitely pride. We talked about that. Lest you fall. Oh, I'm better than that. I need to make sure they're not doing that. If they're going to come to my church, not going to be doing that. No, if it was about that, we're all going to hell. How many times can I say that? So when I get to share the gospel with somebody, if I'm using that as a time to fix their behavior, that's fake, right? That is me doing something for my own selfish reason. Maybe I don't like the way they act around me. I don't have kids, but maybe I don't like the way they act around my kids. Maybe I don't like the way they talk to my other friends, so I want them to fix their behavior. That's fake. That's selfish. That's for me, right? When I get to spread the gospel, the way it works is authenticity, right? That's in welding school. I graduated welding school. When I was there, if I were to just go in there and just start giving people Bibles, hey, you need to change. You need to change. That may or may not work. But when you, this is our discipleship process with our trees. We're going to put them up on a wall someday. I just keep pointing. There's trees over there. So that's our discipleship process, right? We build a relationship, and I'm not telling them about the gospel because I want them to change, right? All I want them to do is experience the same love that I feel. If I am telling my friend, right, hey, Saul, how are you? Good to see you, buddy. He's watching. That was the person we prayed for. So if I'm telling him, hey, that ain't right, that's not what I should be spreading, right? That is automatically telling him it's about works. It's not about works. What I need to tell him is John 3:16. Hey, look, we can come to an agreement. I was talking to a lot of people in my welding school, and there was one thing we could all agree on, and it was that we are all bad. Every single one of us. And even people who had wildly different worldviews than me, people who had wildly different, in different religions, we could all agree, we're bad. So I'm not trying to tell him, hey, you're bad, I'm better. I'm trying to say, hey, we have to come at this with humility. Hey, I'm bad, you're bad, but here is the good news. Here is the gospel. And it's not that the good news is you get to change. No, the good news is John 3:16. God sent his son to die to take care of my sins so that I could have eternal life. So we're looking at the gospel now. That's what it's not. So I know a lot of us, we have a good understanding of what it is, but sometimes if we don't communicate it the right way, it comes off as, hey, Jesus is Lord. If you say Jesus is Lord, you're saved. That's not it, right? Just to acknowledge it, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, there's no belief behind that either. To know the Bible, to know creation, fall, redemption, to be able to have a grid and be like, oh, right here in the Bible it says, and right here it says, according. To know the words, memorization, creation, fall, redemption, is not the gospel. To only be worried about behavior, right, to take out all of the other stuff and only say, if I act better, if I act more Christ-like, if you act more Christ-like, you're saved. That's incorrect. All of that is wrong. And I know we know that, but we need to make sure that whenever we're living the way we live, that's not how we're living. We need to make sure that when we communicate with people, that we're not communicating in that way. It's really easy, if I don't want to talk to somebody, to be like, if they start asking me questions about church, asking me questions about the Bible, it's really easy to say, you know what? Done a lot of great things for me. Jesus is Lord. Right? Get me out of that conversation real quick. That's not the gospel. To say, hey, we were created, something bad happened, but now if you just believe in God, you're good. There's no salvation in that. To fix my behavior and fix the other people's behavior, if that's all I'm worried about, we're not saved in that. That's where the pride comes in, right? We have to humble ourselves. We have to acknowledge, hey, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner, and so are you. And the good news is in John 3:16. God sent his son to die. It's in Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I like to sing, sorry. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. If we look at the top three things that I said the gospel was not, saying Jesus is Lord, memorizing the plot to the story, trying to change somebody's behavior, all of that makes it seem like it's something that I can do, right? If I memorize the storyline, if I can acknowledge something. But in Ephesians, it says, it is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. Nothing I can do, right? 1 Corinthians, let's go 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 4. There we are. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. What did you receive? That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. That's the gospel. Jesus died for my sins. God sent somebody to save me because I am a dirty, rotten sinner. And he rose again on the third day, and because of that, we do not have to go to hell. Does that make sense? But it's not just memorizing it. It's trust and belief. It's that 1 to 10. It's that 10 that I know, hey, he died for me. I can live in joy. I can dance for Jesus. I can thank God for the snakes. It's really hard. We talked, if you don't know what I'm saying, I'm sorry. We talked about unless you fall, right? There may be problems, and God doesn't always give you a way out, but there's a solution. And the solution, where did it lie? In the gospel. I know that there's going to be problems, but I also know there's this like ultimate problem solver that kind of changed everything for everyone, and all I have to do is acknowledge and admit it and believe it. That way, when there's a test, I can thank God for the test. But if I'm relying on myself, it's pretty hard to thank God for the snakes. Right? Next one, Romans 6, 23. Let's go there. 6, 23. Here it is. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get... Oh, wait, that's the wrong one. What in the world? There we are. For the wages... That makes a whole lot more sense. I was like, what in the world did I write down? For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is... I should have known that. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's nothing I can do. And... in the gospel, this saves us. Now, what does that mean? Oh, I'm getting way ahead of myself. We're going to skip forward and then we'll skip backwards because I got ahead of myself. The gospel saves. What does that mean, right? That's a churchy word. It's really easy to tell someone, right? Maybe I'm not saying Jesus is Lord. Maybe I'm not saying, hey, I memorize the story, you should memorize the story. Maybe I'm not worried about behavior, but maybe I say, hey, Jesus saves. Maybe I put the bumper sticker on the back of my car, right? Jesus saves. Right, what is that? What is Jesus saving? Jesus saves you, Jesus saves me. What is he saving us from? He's saving us from hell. What do you mean? Jesus paid the price. He is saving me from sin. We have a fair God. We have a just God. I would not want to serve a Lord. I would not want to serve a God who's not fair. Right? And if he's fair, if he's just, if there's this place that you have to be perfect to get, none of us are perfect. Well, then guess what? We're all going to hell. I said it again. There you go. Put a tally. So, we're all going to hell, right? I can't get there, but it saves us from ourselves. If he's fair, I'm a sinner, I'm bad. We know that. We can all agree. We're all sinners. We're all bad. We all stink. The gospel, something has to get me there. If I want to be there, there's nothing I can do. It saves me from myself. It saves us from sin, right? You are a sinner. You sin. You cannot go to heaven. Jesus died for what? Our sin, which saves us from our sin, from hell. And when we believe and we know that and we trust in that, that's when we're going to heaven. Does that make sense? So if we're relying on ourselves, self-reliance, pride, right? We talked about that last week. If we're relying on ourselves and I'm worried about memorization, I'm worried about acknowledgement, and I don't believe it, I'm not going to be there. If I'm worried about my behavior, am I acting Christ-like? If I have to focus on if I'm acting Christ-like and I'm not knowing, hey, God is in me, God is around me, and that's not driving me, but I'm worried about my behavior and I'm worried about the people around me just because I want to be better behaved because that's what I should do to get into heaven. That's the wrong thing we're learning. That's the wrong message we're spreading. That's fake. Right? That's where people, if I go up to them, I'm saying, hey, to be a Christian means to be more Christ-like, right? To act better, right? That immediately pushes people away. And that's not the message that we're spreading. The message is good news. It is not good news to say, hey, you're bad. So now we're going back to good news. Here we are. Good news. In Greek, I put a V, it's a U. Euangelion. Good news. A king's announcement of victory after war. I put two up there because I liked the way, the context that they would use them. In Greek, when a lot of times it was a king's announcement of victory in war. The Bible is God inspired. This is an announcement. It's been sent to us from God and the gospel, right? If we're looking at the plot, right, where there's a problem, we can't go to heaven, right? There's a solution. That's the gospel. This is an announcement of victory. This book is an announcement of victory from the Lord, King of Kings. Then we look at it in Hebrew, a lot of context. A messenger bringing news of major victory in battle. But we need to make sure we know what the gospel is. Because if my good news that I'm bringing to you is that, hey, you stink and you need to act better, that is not good news. Right? I stink. How can I act better? Right? The good news is not, hey, there was a problem. He solved it. We're good now. That's not good news either, right? Why is that good news to me? Right? The good news is not, hey, fix your behavior. Hey, you need to say Jesus is Lord. That's not good news. Good news is we stink. And he solved the problem. Let's make it personal, right? I stink. He solved the problem for me so I can spend time in heaven with him. If we don't make it personal, if it's, hey, we stink, the problem was solved, then it starts to look like creation, fall, redemption, right? If we don't make it personal, God made it personal. The Bible makes it personal. We need to make sure that this is personal with us whenever we start spreading it to other people. Because if we're being fake about it, if we believe in something fake, and then I start to tell other people fake things, now everybody has this fake sense of security. But if I know the truth, I believe the truth, and I can authentically share the truth, this is your guide to share it authentically. This does not say worry about your works at all, anywhere. It's not about works. You can't do it. In Hebrew, it's a messenger. We are messengers. This book, inspired by God, was written by messengers. So it's good to know that this book is a king's announcement of victory. Hey, we won the war. Right? It's also good to remember that we're messengers spreading victory. Miss Vanessa, the person who passed, she is a messenger. She was spreading victory. She was dancing in the victory. You could see it in her face. She was spreading a message of victory. Even towards the end, she was battling with cancer. Even towards the end, all you saw was a message of victory. So we know what it's not. We know what it is. It's a message of victory. How am I going to live my life in response to a message of victory? How am I going to live my life acknowledging, this is your first one, how am I going to live my life? First, I'm going to acknowledge that I stink. But I also need to acknowledge the same thing, right? We talk a lot about, it's really easy to go negative. But if we're going to talk about the negative, we also got to talk about the positive. We stink and we're bad. But also, somebody died for my sins. And there was a problem. Right? So what I can do to live in response, first thing, I can repent. I know that I messed up. I don't need to harp on that because somebody died for my sins. But I want to acknowledge, hey, I messed up. I want to acknowledge when I mess up. And I know that you died for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that sacrifice. I'm sorry. And not just I'm sorry, but let's turn away from that. Let's not do that anymore. Right? If I think about every time I sin, somebody else had to die, that would be nuts. Every time I make a mistake, oh, somebody else had to die. I sinned again. Somebody else had to die. Think about it that way. Because Jesus didn't die for one sin. Jesus didn't die for one person's sin. Jesus died for every sin. Imagine that. In this room. Every time I sin, every time I had a bad thought. Uh-oh. There's nobody in here. We got to repent and turn away. We got to move on. Next. This is a big one. This is hard. It's hard to just say this. And when we think about it, it's even harder. We have to trust. Have faith in Christ alone. We have to trust the cross. I'm not going to ask you to say your numbers 1 to 10 if you died today, if you believed you would go into heaven. But if it's not out of 10, right? If I don't believe, hey, I died and I'm going to heaven because I know Jesus died for me. He paid for all my sins. He paid the cost, right? If I do that and it's not a 10, there's something there. And I encourage you, I'm not going to make you say your number, but I encourage you to find the root of that. Even if it's a 9, find the root of that 1 because there's something there. And maybe we just need to refresh, right? We need to keep reading. We need to be in it. We need to be in the Word. We need to absorb it. We need to soak it up. We need that. We need this reassurance, right? Reassurance is found in here. It's really easy to get anxious. It's really easy to get worried. Reassurance is found in here. So I have to repent, right? When I'm living, I want to repent. I need to trust. I need to walk around like I know when I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm not saying this is like a crazy. I'm not saying we need to like not be afraid to die. Okay. I had this weird, I know some of you guys I've talked to about it. I had this weird, I went to Hawaii. I was going to skydive and on the flight up, I was like, you know what? If I die, I want to be happy when I die. This is a real story, by the way. If I die, I want to be happy when I die. So if I jump out of this plane and the parachute doesn't open, I'm not going to worry. Maybe not that far. Okay? But I need to know I can walk around my daily life thanking God for the snakes. Thank you for this. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to lean on you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to trust in you. I mean, you could take it far enough to where thank you for letting me jump out of this plane and admire what you've created. And I pray that you would open this parachute. It didn't work. I was jumping. I was still terrified, but I was able to smile during it. But we need to trust, right? And that's easy to trust in yourself a little bit and God a lot of it, but that's not what the gospel is. The gospel is understanding I can't trust in myself at all. I can only trust in one thing, and I need to fully trust in that one thing. And it all goes back to to last week's message. So the line that I went down for this sermon, I was trying to go here. I was trying to go here. I was trying, all right, we went over last week, and now we're in this week. And it's not the same sermon series, so I don't need to talk about the same thing. But here we go. It's in humility, right? We're talking about at work, we do these homework sheets for kids, and this month is modesty, right? We're talking about humility. I need to acknowledge I'm bad. I need to acknowledge Jesus died for me. He died for every single sin, right? I need to fully trust in that. My 1 to 10 needs to be 10. And when I'm living in that, that's when you get, this is Miss Vanessa, it was her favorite verse to tell me, a peace that surpasses all understanding, having faith over fear. That's humility, and that only comes when you quit relying on yourself, right? To even say, you know, this problem is not big enough for God. You just gave yourself a massive ego, right? I don't need God for that. I could do that, even if it's a tiny thing. We hear it all the time, let go, let God. That's hard to do, especially when you think, well, I don't got to let go on this one. I can handle this one. I can put out this fire. Nope. If I even a little bit think I can fix it, that's the problem, right? We talk about business meetings. How would it change if Jesus walked in right here? It's going to change a little bit, right? Everybody's got that sin in their life. But if we can fully trust and depend on him, and I can humble myself and understand that, that's when it becomes something that other people see. And that's when it becomes authentic. So whenever we're talking about the three trees and we talk about our discipleship process, if I am spreading any message of memorization or just acknowledging it, or I'm spreading a message of fixing your behavior, that's not authentic. And that discipleship process is going to crash and burn, right? We need to know what is the gospel. And the gospel is in John 3:16. God sent his son to die for me for every single sin because I am a sinner. And because of that sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice, I am saved. We need to make sure that we can take our self-reliance out of it. We need to make sure that I can acknowledge I'm bad. That's the first thing in a discipleship process. This is the first thing. I don't know if I'm right. I don't know if I have the answers. But when I was talking to anybody who I'm discipling, the first thing is, look, I am not better than you. I am probably worse than you. I don't know. But I know you're bad and I know I'm bad. And I'm not telling you this because I want you to change. I'm telling you this because I want you to experience the same love I'm experiencing. I had a basketball coach. We were doing a small group, and he talked about if you really love and care about someone, if they are not believers, and I love you and I care about you, I care about your future, and I definitely care about your eternity. So when I am talking to somebody who I love and I care about and they don't believe, right? And I am trying to change their behavior, and I am trying to get them to memorize a story or just say the words I need them to say, I'm not helping them at all. I'm relying on myself, and I'm trying to get them saved through works. And did it say we could get saved through works? It didn't. Right, so we have to acknowledge and we have to have some humility. So as the musicians come up, I want you to think about this. Can we admit, can we fully say right now, hey, I messed up. I know I can't fix it. That's hard to say, especially, man, we can fix trucks. Yeah, no, I can't, but most people can. Anyways, can I acknowledge it right now and say, hey, look, I'm not good enough to fix this? And do I trust, hey, he was good enough to fix this? Am I humble enough to say that? And if all the answers are yes, then my next question is my life reflecting that? When I'm speaking to people I care about, are they seeing that? So during this last song, I want you to stand and I want you to pray. Hey, God, thank you for sending your son to die for me. Humble yourself and end it. We talked about words in one of our meetings at work. End it with I love you. That's powerful. It's thrown around really easy. But we're going to end it with I love you. So everybody stand up. I took your mic. I'm sorry.